Ask me. Sometime when the river is ice, ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thought, and some have tried to help or to hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that is what I say. Good morning, beloved friends. In this beautiful poem, we hear what at first may sound like an odd invitation. Ask me, writes the poet, whether what I have done is my life. The first time I read those words, they made no sense whatsoever. After all, what else would my life be other than what I have done? But this is a beautiful poem by William Stafford, and it was used by Parker Palmer, writer, teacher, activist, and founder of the Center for Courage and Renewal, to begin his very small but powerful book, Let Your Life Speak. In the book, he invites us to think very intentionally about what we do every day in the small moments of our lives, and whether or not the aggregate of those choices are in alignment with who we really are at our very core. Throughout Palmer's book, and he invites us to ask the simple but profound question, is the life that I am living the same as the life that wants to live in me? Over the years, this question has been helpful whenever I have strayed out of my sense of integrity, using words that were perhaps motivated more by my need for approval or recognition or acceptance, or maybe even to manipulate a desired outcome. Regardless of the reason, the result is the same. I become out of alignment with my core values and need to take time to engage in what leadership development architect Susan Scott calls an integrity scan. A fancy term, perhaps, that simply echoes Palmer's question as well, both encouraging us to pay attention whenever there is a disconnect between our words and our actions. To ignore this disconnect is always a choice, but I know firsthand doing so comes at a very high price. So against that backdrop, we turn to Jesus' interaction with the chief priests and the elders in the temple this morning. There's a whole lot of things going on in the text, but I want to focus on what I think is Jesus' desire to help these religious leaders do their own kind of integrity scan. Our gospel lesson has two important parts. First, a confrontation with the chief priests and elders, trying to set Jesus up for failure by asking him what they must believe is a trick question, sure to trip him up and hasten his demise. But if Jesus is uncomfortable, he doesn't show it. Instead, like a very gifted Tai Chi martial artist, he redirects the negativity, and he creatively offers it back to them in the form of a story. The story he tells is of two sons, each asked by their father to go and work in the vineyard. The first says no, but eventually goes. The second says yes, but does not go. So when Jesus asks which son did the will of the father, the religious professionals must have taken a moment to exchange that, "Are you kidding me? We got this," look, before even smugly answering the first. Maybe even said, "Duh." Of course, they were right. But that wasn't what Rabbi Jesus was trying to teach them in that moment. And at the risk of putting words in our beloved Jesus' mouth, I would love to think that he might have said something like this. Yep, you're right. It is exactly as you say. Number one, son, is the correct answer. But there is more to learn here if you're ready to hear it. I'd like to help break it down for you. You see, there are going to be all kinds of people ahead of you in the kingdom of God. And it won't be because they have more religious degrees, or could interpret Torah more precisely, or could recite more creeds, or knew more religious history. No, the kingdom is going to be overflowing with all kinds of people, the kinds of people that you in your lifetime have judged and condemned and regarded as lesser than you. You see, everyone is given the choice to act from a place of love, to find ways to express that love in everyday living, even when they have fallen short of saying or doing the right thing in the past. Everyone is precious in the eyes of God. So please, my religious professionals, please let go of your need to be right all the time, and instead trust more in that kind of love. And notice how that love has changed the lives of those you are busy condemning, so that you too can join the wonderful party that waits for you. Now, whether or not Jesus said anything like that, I do believe that what he was doing was crucial then and crucial now. He was holding up a kind of spiritual mirror, inviting those challenging him to perform a kind of integrity scan. Hold up a mirror, he might have said, and simply ask yourself, are the words aligned, your words aligned with your actions? And are both aligned with your core values? And if not, take stock, forgive yourself, and please choose again. So how might we ask ourselves this question today and move forward here at Trinity, building up our common life together? Is the life we are living here in this time and this place in this community the same as the life that Jesus is wanting to live in us? I hear this lesson as an invitation to take some intentional time now to think about what it means to discern and claim our identity with integrity. Who are we here at Trinity? And how does our identity align with our core values? I know that you have done a lot of work on this already, claiming an identity, and I know that firsthand because of the words that you eventually chose to boldly describe this ministry: progressive, inclusive, creative, downtown. These are strong and evocative words. And they may either encourage or maybe even discourage someone from coming to visit. And just in case you have any doubts about the power of those words, let me tell you that these were the words that inspired me to begin a year-long discernment process bringing me here today. They were the words I have longed to hear to describe a community of faith aligned with my core values and my sense of identity as a Christian. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for taking the risk that is involved with finding words that reflect your core values. So now our challenge going forward will be to keep all that we say and do in alignment with those values and what it is that those words evoke. I share that mini testimony this morning because I know deep in my heart I am not alone. I know these are words that others in our community and in the world are hungry to hear, and more importantly, to experience as well. The Barna Group, a market research firm specializing in studying the religious beliefs and behaviors of Americans, came out with a poll in 2016. Sharing some interesting statistics. One in particular caught my attention in light of today's gospel. 87% of the young people polled said that they don't go to church because they see Christians as judgmental and hypocritical. 87%. I thought about that statistic a lot, wondering if Jesus wouldn't be asking us the same question that he has asked the religious leaders today in the text. When and where are the times that we as a denomination or as a church have gotten out of integrity with our core values and have instead maybe focused on the needs of the institution or our beautiful and albeit beloved tradition, perhaps above the core messages of radical inclusion, unconditional love, courageous compassion, and welcoming the stranger? I can't and I won't stand here this morning to tell you that Trinity won't have to face into the challenges of what it means to be the church in the 21st century. I know we will have those challenges together, to be sure. I also know already that we have untapped reserves of hope and promise and an exciting future ahead of us if we can be courageous enough to hold up a spiritual mirror in front of us and on a regular basis ask ourselves, is the life we are living the same as the life that wants to live in us? I want to end this morning sharing some words written by a millennial. In her wonderful book, Searching for Sunday, Rachel Evans helps underscore what I hope will be our clarion call to stay true to risking whatever will be required in the days ahead as we continue to build up our identity with integrity. She writes, "When I left church at 29, full of doubt and disillusionment, I wasn't looking for a better produced Christianity. I was looking for a truer Christianity, a more authentic Christianity. I didn't like how gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender friends of mine were being treated in my faith community. I had questions about science and faith, biblical interpretation and theology, and I felt lonely in my doubts. And contrary to popular belief, the fog machines and light shows of many churches didn't make church any better for me. A church can have a sleek logo and a great website, but if it is judgmental and exclusive, if there is arguing going on inside the walls of the church, if it fails to show the love of Jesus to all, millennials will certainly sniff it out. Our reasons for leaving have so much less to do with style and image and everything to do with how people are treated and if questions about life and faith and community are real and valued." My new and already beloved friends, may we heed those words today as a challenge for who and how we live into our core values here at Trinity. Thank you again for risking some of your comfort, perhaps, to call out words that evoke the kind of love that we will try to emulate in the days and years to come, so that when we meet the many Rachels in the world along the way, they will be astounded to find that in this place and with these people, we will say what we mean, we will mean what we say, we will live and love out loud for good and for God, welcoming all and honoring the Creator that loved us first. Then they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. May it be so.